powerful song, and another one that I've never sang it. And that is so beautiful. I hate that I've never got to sing that one. Thank you for leading that. And such a great job.
Let me get some a little more water here. My mouth gets really dry. The doctor said you need to always just keep drinking. Well, I think Matt thinks it's just I talk too much. And maybe so. Maybe so. Just can't stop.
I want to thank you so much for helping my son. I was a proud, not only proud father when he told me he wanted to go, but I told him, you're not going to have the problems that some of these kids have raising support. I said, we have some great friends around, and I knew before I asked, this congregation would probably help him. And he was so surprised that in 5 days, we basically had the money raised. I thank y'all for loving us that much and interested in my family. I've known some of you for a good while, and I don't feel like a visitor. And these two, I mean, it almost gets to the point, Vicky's going to be mad because she waits on me. But not like these two. I dare not say there's something I need or want right now. One of them's jumped up looking. And it makes me feel a little guilty. I especially with Mac being nearly 80. He wouldn't even hardly let me open my gate today. And to watch him creak and amble along to the gate... I really felt guilty. But getting near the end of the day, he started letting me get out. I figured one of his knees had went out or something. All kidding aside, thank you, thank you, thank you for letting me be here. I couldn't believe that I've been here before, and they got me to come back. I said, man, they got bad memories. Can't remember anything. Any visitors, I appreciate you being here. Hopefully something will be said that's helpful. I know the lessons probably seem a little simplistic, but there's foundational things that ought to be covered again and again. Tonight I was in a quandary because I had two lessons that I wanted to cover, but I don't have enough nights. The one I was going to do was overcoming sin. But then I had another called the blessing of forgiveness. So I'm going to kind of couple them together because you don't need forgiveness if you don't have sin. But we all sin. So let's talk about sin for just a moment. Sin makes us do some crazy things, doesn't it? I think about David and the sin with Bathsheba. Not only did he have impregnate her, but he had her husband murdered. To cover up sin, and that's so indicative of sin. If you don't stop at some point and fix it, you have to keep sinning to not be exposed. And that's the tragedy of it. And that's been going on since the beginning of time. If you think about Genesis chapter 3, around verse 8, in the garden, Adam and Eve have eaten the fruit. They shouldn't have eaten it. Verse 7, they now knew they were naked. Put the fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid. In verse 9, the Lord God called out and said, "Where are you?" I don't know for whose benefit necessarily that was for. I want to kind of believe maybe it was a question for Adam and Eve in their spiritual situation. Like, do you know where you are? God knew where they were. But it also shows that it requires, just like when we ask for forgiveness, we confess our sins to God. Is it that He doesn't know till we tell Him? Or is it for me to understand where I am and that My attitude to God has changed. I'm sorry, God. I know I've messed up. It's a thing of being responsible, accountable. That's what confession is for. Accountability. To let God know your sorrow, that your attitude's changed. And I suppose He knows that, but it's for our benefit. So Adam, where are you? And he said in verse 10, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. And God asked him, who told you that you were naked? We start hiding in the bushes from God. That seems rather silly to us, doesn't it? But I can remember going off to Mississippi State University. And I thought I was hidden from God while I acted a fool. Yes, I was away from my parents, and sometimes we equate that, since nobody knows me here, I can't be found out, whatever it is we're doing. But God's always there. We're fooling ourselves. They were fooling themselves. By the way, you might want to do a study on the word naked. Were they naked in what we think is naked? I think there's times, Mac, and some of you, that we can read in the Bible that word, and sometimes they weren't totally unclothed. They did have coverings. So think about that as this summer comes along. At our age, we're not out exposing ourselves. I've worked in two congregations, and the first sermon I preached was in the winter, and it was on modesty. I said, y'all don't know me. So if you get mad, it's your toes. It's you. It's not me. They always say, you throw a rock at a pack of dogs, and the one who gets hit hollers. And that's the truth. Sometimes you speak the truth and somebody hollers about it. It wasn't me. It was the truth. But anyway, think about that. They hid themselves. They made these coverings. Sin will make you do some stupid stuff. And we live in it. Why do we keep holding on to sin? Is it pride? I think some of that. I'm too humiliated to confess it. I'm too embarrassed to go tell somebody to get help. Why do we go and keep remaining, living our lives in sin that's not been repented of? Look at Exodus chapter 8 for a moment. The silliness of holding on to sin. I don't understand. We know that Pharaoh would not let the people of God go. Hateful person, just hateful. And so this is when the plague, the frogs had been brought upon the land. It's everywhere. It's on their eating table. It's in their flour bin. It's in the bed. It's everywhere you go. I don't know how about you, but I really don't care for frogs. You know, when I was a kid, I picked up those old toads. They weren't slimy. They were kind of dry. I didn't mind those. But those old green frogs in Mississippi, in the South where it's humid, some of those tree frogs would get on a gas station pump. I hated them. They liable to jump on you, and I'm just can't stand that. Or reach up and grab the pump, and he crawls up on your hand, and they feel cold and slick and But think about how much you would hate your house full of frogs and your car. You can't walk for them. You can't take a bath. But look, verse 8, Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron. He said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people. And I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses says to Pharaoh, accept an honor of saying when I shall intercede for. He says, you tell me when, basically what he's saying. Tell me when you want these frogs out of here. And look at verse 10. Tomorrow. Does that make sense? An old preacher had a lesson one time he called Another Night with the Frogs. You've probably heard one like that, haven't you? And you can read that passage a million times and you think, why? If he told me, you tell me when. If it's me, if it's you, it's like 5 minutes ago I wanted them out of here. Tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. Another night with the frogs. Silly. Stupid. Every adjective you can think of. But now put yourself in the place of Pharaoh, and instead of frogs, sin in your life. And you can read in the Bible that at any moment, just like Pharaoh could have done, you can be done with sin just like that. And you don't have to spend another night with the frogs. You don't have to spend another night with sin. But why do we? You ever thought about that? Why do I go to bed one more night, spend a whole nother day with sin in my life? Now, Mac and everybody, I hope this is not a negative sounding sermon to you. I don't mean it that way. But brethren, we sometimes get into things that we never meant to get into. We let them continue longer than we ever intended to let it. Sometimes it's we're being pressed upon by somebody else. Maybe we're helping somebody else cover something up. Right now in Canadian, Texas, 2016, there was a senior high school boy who come up missing. And they found his vehicle. The sheriff said it looked like a runaway. 2 or 3 weeks ago, they found his body, what was left of it. The mother had hired an investigator, and he, within an hour, a year or so ago, he said it was a homicide. He went through the vehicle a little better, found a .25 caliber shell casing and a little bit of blood. A week ago, a teacher that is beloved in that school shot himself. Right now they're not reporting the details, but the rumor is that he left a note because he helped his son cover up the killing of that young man. Alicia, am I loud enough? Okay. From all accounts, the children who have been in his class, who are in his class, he's beloved. One of the most respected men in the community. People are in shock right now. But his love, I guess, for his son overpowered his what he knew, what was right and wrong. And then it looks like that it was going to come out possibly, or he couldn't live with himself anymore, he killed himself. You see what sin will do to you? I hope that this is all a rumor, but it doesn't sound like it. You know how social media, things coming out of that community, the police are being so quiet. Why would you be quiet about a suicide? Can you imagine your son coming to you in the middle of the night and says, Daddy, whether it was an accident or a homicide, I've messed my life up and I need you to help me. That a good man, they said he's a fine man, religious, does so much good, and he helped move him from the vehicle and took it on the other side around a lake and dumped a body. Dumped a body. So it's hard, you know, it's easy for us to say, I wouldn't do such a thing as that. I wouldn't be Pharaoh. I wouldn't spend another night with sin. Here's a man who's been spending over 2 years, night after night. Turn to Psalm 32, but we're going to talk about the reasoning, the burdens of it. Turn to Psalm 32. I don't know why we do that. It causes such suffering. If you look at Psalm 32, this is one of David's. In the background is 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, the one about Bathsheba. I want you to jump down to verse 3 and 4. I suspect this man who helped his son cover up this terrible deed, how many nights did he feel like this? Verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, and through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Now, there's no people on earth that understand the drought of summer better than West Texas. When you hadn't had rain in so long, everybody's hands are cracked. Those of us who refuse to use lotion too much. Lips are chapped. My feet are so rough and cracked right now. He's been laughing at me. I said, I don't think Ira Ann has somewhere to get a pedicure, does it? Oh, if you ever did it, Mac, it's like God sewed new feet on you. But David said, this guilt, this burden is like the way you feel during the summer in a drought. Your hand. You ever had sin in your life? And you're getting to the point you're fixing to do something. And it hurts. I have cried in my pillow. Maybe even shared it with one person. And they keep telling you, you got to come clean. You got to do something about that. And you just lay there putting it off. And that's a great thing, though, that your conscience. I tell everybody that's your spiritual smoke alarm. If you feel bad about sin, that's a good thing. But David said, when I kept silent, think about what happened with Bathsheba. He's trying to fix it. Trying to make it look like he impregnated his wife. I'll send him up to the front line and get him killed. When I kept silent, my bones grew old. Groaning all the day. I don't think that's literal, although it could be. Some of us do groan for different reasoning. You ever had that in your life? These feelings? Well, God gives some instructions. If you look down further, verse 5. David starts telling what he needed to do, or what he did. He said in verse 5, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. So David is telling us what the recipe is that he did to get the forgiveness. I acknowledge. God already knew that. But to make the acknowledgement, it is for yourself. It's what God commands. But it also, it's healing. You know, when James tells us to confess our sin or trespasses to one another, it's accountability. I acknowledge I've done something. I went to the elders before. It wasn't a public sin. But I've opened up to them. And they prayed with me. I've done it with another brother or sister in Christ, husband and wife, and told them what something I was struggling with, a sin. And now somebody else knows about it. Now, it's not that they're watching me, but they know I have that weakness. And sometimes they'll ask, how are you doing? It's better than Dr. Phil. It's better than self-help, chicken noodle soup for the soul, or whatever they call it. All that comes from the Bible. He said, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. He come out and fessed up. I don't know how you feel about it. I know that it's not as popular anymore. People don't come forward much anymore. It's been, for some reason, I think it's because people are too prideful, embarrassed. They felt those were being weak. It wasn't needed. There's a lot of reasons. There's times that people have come forward, and I have been one of them, that it didn't have to be a public thing. But I was wanting the brethren to help pick this burden off my shoulders. I wanted God to forgive me, and I wanted my brethren to pray for me and be concerned about that. And when you've got that many people helping, it's a healing thing to me. It's therapy. It's not a I'm going to walk before my brethren to be flogged, although there's been a few in the church years and years that talked about, well, I knew that was going on. You can just hear them. Instead of crying and being happy, maybe not even being crying, but just encouraging, happy that they come out of it. Yeah, there's times we know each other and that we know that. I guarantee you there's some things in people's lives right here that it's not just you that knows about it. And I'm not saying something, what we might classify as major. I don't believe there's anybody in here that's buried a body somewhere. But there's just about always sin in the camp. And it's always more than that person that knows about it. But sometimes we're afraid to follow the Scriptures. Galatians 6:1. Go bear that person up. If you go to verse 2, Galatians 6:2, it tells you in the attitude, be meek about it. Because it may be you next time. Don't go over there and beat them to death over the head with it. What can I do to help you? That's what they need. That's what they need. And next time when you have sin in your life, you might take a little more constructive criticism a little better because you know it's from love. If you're criticizing somebody and it's not from love, you're not doing them any good. God wants us to be healed from our sins. David gives you the recipe for it, acknowledging it, confessing it, and then know that he's going to forgive you. Look at verse 7. You see the comfort that you get. Here's the comfort that you get by taking care of your sin. David said to God, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. When you've had sin in your life and you dealt with it, wasn't that the most delicious feeling you've had? It's out in the open. It's off of me. If I've got consequences to pay, I'll pay them. My cousin is in prison right now for shooting a man. He had never even had a traffic ticket before. They ended up giving him a very lenient sentence in his second trial. He appealed it. Mississippi, it's 20 years for attempted murder. There's no mitigating circumstances, just straight 20. And went back, and the same judge, a female, she said, you never even had a ticket. His employer paid for the lawyer, said, as soon as he's out, he's coming back to work for me. So she gave him 5 years. And he'll tell you, I deserve it. And I bet that's a little therapeutic, although it's difficult and boring. But in his cells, a young boy who's 21 or so, who got drunk and wrecked his car and killed his best friend, he cries at night. Not because he's in jail, but he killed that boy. So that moaning and groaning and God's heavy hand and all that David's talking about, he's feeling it. Yet Wayne, and from what I've understood, that boy, are not seeking anything from God. They don't even want to study anything about God. They can't get this comfort. And there they sit in a cell with full of regrets, not only wishing they were out, but all the memory of what went on that day or night that when it happened. The young boy doesn't even want out of jail right now. He said, I feel better here. I feel like I'm paying something. But he's not going to get complete help from that, is he? Still going to live it the rest of his life. And without God's forgiveness, look at verses 1 and 2. Now we'll look at the blessedness of forgiveness. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. David was the best person to write this psalm. He's one of those people that, as crazy as his life was, you want to pattern yourself spiritually in that when he messed up and was confronted with it, he owned up to it. And how many people do you see in life who deny, 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 deny? Nathan went to him, and after the little story about the sheep, he pointed at him. He said, "Thou art the man." And it just crushed David. But instead of saying, "Well, I'm the king and I can do whatever I want to do and I'll have Nathan strung up, don't dare question me," he said, basically, "I've sinned." And Nathan immediately, if you go back to 1 Samuel 11 and 12, if you go back and read that, Samuel said, "And God has forgiven you." That's how quick it is. Your mom or dad ever pulled a thorn out of your foot or a splinter out of your finger? You didn't want them to. It hurt for just a second. But then it was pure relief. I'm not walking on that thorn anymore. I don't touch things and that sticker's still getting me. Why do we carry sin so long? When there's such a blessing. Those of us who are raised with Christ, we were baptized, we became a Christian. We now have that avenue now that all I have to do is ask the Lord to forgive me. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. Because I'm His, I don't have to go through all the process again of becoming a saved being. I now can just go to Him and immediately receive relief. But you have to ask for it. You have to ask Him for help. And I'll say this, you have to ask each other for help at times. Sometimes we don't know what you're struggling with, and it's good for you to call on your brethren. Had a man who quit the church years ago. I was serving as deacon in Meridian, Mississippi, and he had been laid off from his job. Well, he didn't tell nobody. And it wasn't until they foreclosed on his house nearly 2 years later, he quit coming to church. People tried to call him, and he wouldn't give them time of day, so the elders went to see him. And he said, "Y'all never helped me when I was losing my house." They said, "Well, it's first we've heard of it." Maybe that's not the best example. But if you've got it in your life, don't assume everybody knows about it and they're just being patient hoping you'll get out of it. If you're wanting help, sinfully speaking, spiritually speaking, talk to somebody. God will listen at any time, and your brethren will too. There's so much there. Look at verse 8 and through the end of the chapter. This is kind of God speaking through David here, but he says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you." He said, don't be hard-headed. Don't be like these brute animals that have to be basically grabbed and led somewhere. That's not the relationship God's wanting with you. Verse 10, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Do you see the ebb and flow through this psalm? David takes you to the lowest point in his life, but he also at the end he comes back to what being a godly person, what you can get out of it. It is an occasion to shout for joy when we take care of our sin. It's a time of celebration. I do hate when brethren have come forward and asked for forgiveness, and there's some who are not happy for them. They didn't like the way they did it. He didn't tell enough when he came forward. When what they should be doing is like the father and the prodigal son. We ought to be so happy when a brother or sister comes out of something they're doing. We might not even known it. But it's a time to celebrate. And sin will take you somewhere you never meant to be, keep you there longer than you meant to. But forgiveness is just one step away. That's the blessing of being a Christian. The person in the world doesn't have that relationship with Christ. I'm told there's a new Christian here. God bless you. I'm so happy for you. Because you were living a life that you didn't have the same relationship with God that some of His faithful do. Now you're one of His, and all you have to do is say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. And that's the end of it. What a blessing. This week we talked about some blessings like our wives or spouses and other things. There's a blessing right there that just you cannot put value on. That I can get that weight and burden off of me. I can be in fellowship with God. I can be walking again with Him, Amos 3:3. So I'll end tonight with this. If you are not right with God, why are you spending another night in sin? Why are you spending another night with the frogs? It's just horrible. Why do that? It's just as silly as Pharaoh. Why wouldn't you get rid of it tonight? If you're not a Christian, we're ready to help assist you obey the gospel. But either way, get your sin taken care of if you have that in your life. If you have a spiritual need, come now while we stand, while we sing.